Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the epistle you heard today from Galatians 5, you recall the Apostle Paul spoke much about the flesh and how the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. What is this flesh that is so terrible? I think you know that the flesh, when Scripture refers to it in places like that, is talking about the sinful, diseased, spiritual sin that we carry around in our flesh by nature ever since we were conceived by our mothers. Original sin. The inherited corruption of our whole selves and of our whole race descended from Adam and Eve after they fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. That is the flesh. And as you heard Paul writing to the Galatian Christians, it isn't gone when you become a Christian. On the contrary, it's right there all the time, warring against the Spirit, the new person, the new man that lives in every Christian and only in Christians by virtue of our rebirth by faith into the Church of Christ, into the person of Christ, into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Well, the works of the flesh, as Paul talked about them, manifest themselves just like all diseases that live within our genes manifest themselves in all sorts of ways. And since the flesh is that all-encompassing disease that diseases our whole flesh, it's the source of all those sins that come out into the works that people do. And the list was long that you heard. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which means there's a whole lot more things like that. Well, you know how the Bible often uses the physical maladies of some people to illustrate certain spiritual defects in all people. We've talked about this recently. Blindness, deafness, depicting spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness that infect all people by nature. Well, today in our gospel, we see the disease that pictures for us the flesh, leprosy. A disease of the whole flesh, spotted skin riddled with sores, a disease that made a person unfit to live with the healthy people in society, a disease that kept a person far away from the holy things of God in his temple. Well, that's what the flesh is like, a spiritual disease of the whole person, making us sinners before God from the time our mothers conceived us, blemished, spotted, unfit to live among saints, unfit to approach God. But see what happened in the gospel, the healing of leprosy, which pictures for us Jesus healing our whole person with his gift of forgiveness. In the gospel, 10 men with leprosy somehow, somewhere heard the good report about Jesus that he was the master, as they called him, that he was powerful to heal every kind of illness, and that he was merciful to all who came to him for help. They heard it and they believed it. You can tell they believed it because they found Jesus where he was and called out to him with that cry of faith, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That is the cry of faith. Have mercy. Because it looks to Jesus as the one who has mercy, who can show mercy, and who will show mercy. Well, the word about Jesus had already kindled that faith in the hearts of the lepers, at least faith in Jesus for physical healing. And so he healed them. He didn't wave their leprosy away right there on the spot, but he sent them on their way to the priests to show themselves to the priests in Jerusalem. The priests who were charged with examining lepers to see if they were truly healed and of pronouncing those who were healed clean. The priests, the keepers of the law, were the ones who could pronounce lepers clean, but the priests, the keepers of the law, weren't the ones who could cleanse them. Only Jesus could do that. And there's our first spiritual lesson in this gospel. The law can't save anyone, can't heal anyone or cleanse them before God, because we start out life diseased, infected with original sin, and condemned by the law of God for it. But by faith in Christ Jesus, there is cleansing before God, and not just of original sin, but of all sin. So that by faith in Christ Jesus, we can now stand before God and His law and not be condemned by the law. The law has to pronounce us Christians righteous, sinless. Why? Because our sins were paid for by Jesus, and righteous because He has given us His righteousness by faith. That's why we call it the righteousness of faith in our Lutheran confessions. By His forgiving power, He has cleansed us of our sin. And as Jesus said to that leper, so He says to you, your faith has saved you. Because faith is that by which the righteousness and cleanness of Jesus comes to you. But you remember how the story went on. As the lepers were journeying to the priests, they looked down at their flesh and they saw that they had been cleansed. And they rejoiced. They had been cleansed by Jesus. And 9 of the 10 kept on running to the priests. But one of them stopped and turned around and glorified God with a loud voice, ran back to where Jesus was, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and gave thanks to him. Luke notes for us that he was a Samaritan. And those of you who were here last week heard more about the Samaritans in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you remember, these were the people who weren't Jews, who worshipped God falsely, who were hated by the Jews, and who hated the Jews right back for the most part. But this particular Samaritan gets it right. He recognizes the true God in the person of Jesus. He won't be satisfied with anywhere else for giving thanks to God than at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't care that Jesus is a Jew. What does that matter? Jesus is his God who came to his aid. He had to return to where Jesus was to give thanks. And Jesus was glad that he did. But first, Jesus had to note the absence of the other 9. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Clearly, it wasn't okay with Jesus that the other 9 just kept running to the priests without returning to give thanks to him, because it revealed something about those 9 men. Although they had started out well, believing in him for the healing of their leprosy at least, they quickly forgot about Jesus and sought no other healing from him. And that's not what saving faith does. Saving faith doesn't believe in Jesus for a moment and then leave him to get on with your own life. When the Holy Spirit works faith in a poor sinner, he grants forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Another way of saying that is that he gives the sinner a new birth. Rebirth, born again, or the word we sometimes use, regeneration. The flesh, the sinful nature, isn't wiped out or destroyed in the process, as we said. Instead, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, it's crucified. It's drowned, as we confess in our small catechism, in holy baptism. And holy baptism signifies that it should be drowned daily, by daily contrition and repentance, as we return to our baptism. And then what? A new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Or as St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Paul writes to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The one leper shows us the first step in that walk in the Spirit, that walk of one who has faith in Christ Jesus, who has been born again. That first step is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's giving of His Son into death for our sins. Thanksgiving for Christ's willing sacrifice, giving Himself in love for us. Thanksgiving for God the Holy Spirit's work in us, His free and faithful gift of forgiveness through Christ for His sake. Jesus praised the one who returned to give thanks to Him because it was a sign that the man's faith was genuine, a sign that the man had truly been born again, as opposed to the other nine whose faith flickered and died as quickly as it had been kindled. Now, assuming you all meant the words that you have been speaking thus far this morning during this service, you are here today first to seek the Lord's mercy in Christ Jesus. You sang it, Lord, have mercy upon us, three times, and then a few more. Who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. That's good and right. It's what the lepers did, all 10 of them. The whole Christian life begins with that cry of faith, kindled by the word that you have heard about God's mercy in Christ. And then you also sang words of thanksgiving to God in this place where God has promised to be, with His word preached and His sacrament administered. Glory be to God on high. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. That's good and right too. That's the response of faith, like the response of the one leper. Well, let that cry of Kyrie, Lord, have mercy, and the response of thanksgiving characterize your life, not just this morning during the service, but throughout the week. You can't be here in church every day giving thanks to Jesus, receiving His forgiveness in the gospel and in the sacrament. You're not even supposed to be here every day. God has given you duties to perform in your earthly life. But what happens here on Sunday mornings, the cry to the Lord for mercy and your response of thanksgiving can play itself out every day as you live your daily life in contrition and repentance, as you direct all that you do as a great thanksgiving to God for His mercy to you in Christ, as the new man emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And forever, of course, begins now. walk in the Spirit according to the new cleansed man, not according to the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Remember your baptism. Remember that you have received God's forgiveness, and with it a new man. Not that you won't struggle with sin. Not that you won't sometimes struggle even with thanklessness. On the contrary, you will see that sin is your constant companion, but that struggle and the determination inspired by God and strengthened by Him to live according to the new man, that is a sign that you are not under law, but under grace. So the grace of God in Christ Jesus, which saves you from the law's condemnation and from the guilt of your sins, also inspires you to produce all the fruits of the Spirit that the apostle listed: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You noticed in that whole list, the apostle never once mentioned thanksgiving. That's because thanksgiving to God characterizes the whole life of the Christian and accompanies every fruit of the Spirit. Every good work that is truly a good work begins with first faith, but then thanksgiving. So, Lord, have mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. That is the Christian life. May God give you the strength to live it again this week. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.